Well, hello everyone. Welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the sound of my voice and wish you all peace, love, and happiness. So how's everybody's week going? How has it been? How have you been surviving through all of this madness and back and forth and misinformation and true information and false information? Let me tell you something. The concept known as confirmation bias is so real. Confirmation bias is basically when we don't seek out actual news. We just seek out confirmation of things that we already believe. So, looking through my Facebook feed, obviously, I was finding people that were sharing this article that was saying that the CDC had admitted to fudging some of the numbers for coronavirus infection rates and things like that. But when I went and searched for the particular sources of the information, it wasn't any major news source. And I'm not talking about just CNN or Fox. I'm talking about all of them. There were a few of them. I'm not going to say all of them because I didn't search all of them. But there were just like these, I don't want to say they're fringe, but they were definitely smaller news outlets that were reporting this. I'm going to keep an eye on it, though, just to kind of, you know, keep myself in the know. But yeah, what in the world is going on? So people that have never believed that coronavirus has been a thing, they have found whatever information that they could find in order to discredit all of the numbers. But the people that have contracted the virus and survived, the way that they describe the pains and what they went through and their recovery, and even some of the things that they're dealing with after they quote unquote recover, it doesn't feel like this is a fake virus. I mean, we've had people that have died from it, obviously, upwards of 140-some thousand, almost 150,000 now. Sports venues are trying to open back up. I see the NBA is playing, but I don't think they have any fans in the stands, so they're just kind of playing for TV. Baseball season is kind of getting back into the swing of things. I don't know how that's going to go. Speaking of sports, I hope everybody is seeing what's happening with the Washington, what used to be the Washington Redskins, but is now officially the Washington NFL team. They've officially dropped the name Redskins, and they are just going with the Washington team until they can come up with a new nickname and a new logo, I guess. So, like, the logo is gone. The name is gone, and they're just the Washington football team. So what an incredible time to be living in, to be witness to all of this, by the way. Like, there's just so much going on. It'll make your head spin. So, yeah, man, the confirmation bias is such a real thing. And I think normally as humans, we do that, especially as we get older. We tend to stop seeking out new information, and it's just kind of like kind of what we do, sort of getting set in our ways and getting used to how things go. We tend to stop looking for new news and new information. We just kind of seek out things that already affirms what we believe and what we think. So I try not to be any type of conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. But some of this stuff is hard to ignore. So, like, when the CDC comes out and gives a report saying that they fudged some numbers, like, okay, like, what's really going on? And then, are we ever really going to get the true information? I'm still seeing stuff about the NASA releasing information about UFOs and crashed spaceships landing. That's not really getting any national news. It's almost like they're trying to release something to distract everybody from the pandemic, the election, from anything. A couple years ago, NASA releasing information on any kind of UFO would have been just like, wow, just like crazy. That would have been everywhere, all over the news. But now that's just kind of like on the back page. That's like on a back flap in the newspaper. Like, it's not even front page news, which is crazy in these times. But getting back to this Washington team, so if you don't know what happened, the Washington Redskins have been the Redskins for years. I mean, as long as I can remember. My grandfather was a fan of the Washington Redskins, and he had hats and shirts and sweaters and the logo, and a lot of people, for many years actually, were complaining about the name. They were complaining about the logo. They were complaining that it was racist, basically. And the owner of the Redskins, like way back in the 80s, I can remember it kind of drumming up back then. People were saying that the name and the logo was racist and it was offensive. But even back then, the owner was like, I'm never, ever changing the name or changing the logo. Fast forward here to 2020. Now we've got companies that are pulling funding, their advertising revenue, and that almighty dollar speaks volumes. And so then we're at a point where he has agreed to investigate changing the name. And now all of a sudden, they're no longer the Redskins and the logo is gone. So the power of that almighty dollar. So what I get from this, the lesson that I get from this is truly, if you want to affect change, follow the money and start affecting the money. That's how we affect change. And when talking about this, getting rid of these offensive, like, statues and SERP bottle names and Uncle Ben's and things like that, I don't think getting rid of stuff like that is really getting to the root of the problem, because the root, to me, the root of racism is so deeply ingrained in this country, and we don't even realize it. I've given plenty of examples of things that we've all participated in that could potentially be construed as offensive and racist, and we had no idea. Like, from the terms that we use to the ice cream truck song to just that feeling that people get when they see someone of color. Like, there's like a legitimate feeling that some people get that, I don't know, makes them nervous, makes them apprehensive, makes them, I don't know, whatever other term that you can think of. But there's definitely, like, getting to the heart of somebody and getting their heart changed. That's not going to happen with getting rid of Aunt Jemima's name and her likeness on a SERP bottle, or getting rid of Uncle Ben's. Like I believe a lot of black folks appreciate the gesture of things changing like this, but we realize that it's not actually changing the hearts and minds of people. We could get rid of all the Confederate statues and all of the things that could be construed as racist that we want, but there's still going to be some people that don't like people of color because of their skin. And that's just like, how do we change that? Like, that's the big thing. And that, I don't think anybody has an answer for. That's just something that, like, you can't change somebody's heart. They have to change when they're ready. They have to change on their own. And they have to change when they get enough information or get enough exposure, and not see black folks as, I don't know, people see us literally as less than human, or as animals, or as we're not intelligent, or we're not supposed to be successful, or, you know, we're not supposed to be in certain areas of the country because I don't want you here, is what we're hearing. So we can't change that by switching up a logo. So that's just my two cents on the matter. But like I said, I appreciate the gesture. I appreciate the thought process and the things that are changing. But like I said, follow the money and affect the money. If we could wrap our heads around that. I mean, look at what's going on in this country right now, the pandemic. People that are well-to-do, they don't want people sitting at home not working. Because when people are at home and they're not working, like, there's kind of like this peace, like this freedom. Like, if people are at home, they're getting unemployment, and their unemployment is equal to or greater than what they were making while they were working, like, you have that sense of adventure. Maybe you'll explore some different avenue. Maybe you'll set yourself up to come out on the other side of the pandemic being better, and then you don't need the job anymore. Like, the people that are well-to-do that need workers, they don't want their workers, like, away from their job, because they know that they'll figure out that, hey, I could do something else. And then, like, when things get as close to normal as they're going to get, then that business is out of a worker. And that's not what they want. They want people to keep working so you can focus on getting to work. Like, they want you to put kids back in school so you could get back to work. That's what I think. I don't know about this whole, if school officials have to have Zoom meetings, like, they can't meet face to face, they got to do it online. They got to have Zoom meetings to discuss putting kids back in school, then it probably is not a good idea to put kids back in school. Like, if the administrators aren't going to meet face to face, then why put our children in that position? And this is just something that we don't know everything about. Like, it's not like the flu. It does not act like the flu. It doesn't affect people like the flu. And there are some lingering after effects after it's gone that's totally unlike the flu. And then, you know, there's people dying at an alarming rate. And children are notorious for spreading germs. Like, you know how kids are. They're coughing and sneezing. They're rubbing their noses and then they're instantly touching their buddy on the shoulder or on the face or whatever. You know, teachers are getting coughed on and getting sneezed on, and they're kids. Like, they don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing. And then you got the teacher that's bringing that stuff home to their family. So I'm totally on board. Like, the school system here where my kid is going to school is going to be 100% virtual learning for, I believe, at least the first 9 weeks, or at least until December or something like that. I can't remember what the email said, but he's going to be virtual learning. And, you know, we're just going to have to find a way to adapt to giving him his time, his school time, as if it were to be a normal school day. Now, that means that we're going to have to interact, and we're going to have to be more and more involved. And yeah, that's going to be a pain in the crack. But if that's what it takes to kind of keep people safe, I don't know. Y'all know my stance on it. If the measures that we take, if it keeps one person from dying, then that's a victory. Like, I don't have this acceptable number of people dying for it to not be a problem in my eyes. Like, people are talking about, yeah, it's only killing 2.5 people per day. And they're talking like that's acceptable. Like, no, that's not acceptable. To me, there is no number of deaths concerning this virus that would make it acceptable to me. Like, I'm sorry. There's no number of deaths for the flu that makes it acceptable. And I don't know. People just kind of talk so casually about other people dying. But the crazy thing is, when you got somebody like Chuck Woolery, who in the span of a day, he was talking about how people are lying and don't believe your officials and blah, blah, blah. And the next day he tweets out, like, my son is tested positive for COVID. This is no joke. And, you know, kind of trying to walk back the statements that he had made just like the day before. Like, it doesn't seem real to people until it affects somebody that they're close to. So, and for me, I know people who have come down with COVID. I'm not sure of anybody that I know personally that has died yet, but I do know somebody who, excuse me, I do know somebody who had to lose his leg below the calf because of complications from COVID-19. And this just happened a few days ago. So I believe this thing is very real. And I believe that whatever we can do to prevent anybody from dying, that's okay with me. Wearing a mask, the social distancing, staying your butt at home if you don't necessarily have to be out. I mean, all of those things. If that's what it's going to take, then that's what it's going to take. So anyway, enough of that. What I want to talk about in this particular episode of the podcast are a couple of success principles and things that I have learned along the way to help you become more successful. And I know that might be a little bit of a personal thing, because then you get into the whole defining success thing. But I'm going to get into all of that. Let me take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey there, podcast listeners, DeCourcy Williams here, and I've got a quick treat for you. Have you ever wanted to start investing your money? Did you ever want to get into the stocks game but didn't know where to get started? Did you want to have some money saved up for that rainy day fund that you've been talking about? Well, let me introduce you to Stash Invest. Stash is the app that you can have right on your mobile device, and it'll allow you to save money incrementally without even thinking about it. You can also invest your money into ETFs and stocks on a weekly, a bi-weekly, or monthly basis. Whether you're saving for retirement or saving for that next big vacation or just building up some cash for that next big purchase, you can be confident that Stash will help you reach your goals. So click the link in the description. You'll get $5 for starting with Stash for free if you click the link, and you'll be on your way to a better financial future. So click the link and let's get stashing. All right, well, thank you very much for sticking with me. Welcome back. And we're talking about some success principles and some things that you could incorporate into your daily lives that could help you, you know, attract more success and help you reach your own goals. Before I get into that, I did find out some what I think is pretty good news is that the National Suicide Prevention Line was approved to have a designated 3-digit number, you know, kind of like 911. So this is going to roll out here in 2022. Unfortunately, these things take a while, and I believe it's going to be 988. So we'll have to wait. But 2022 is when that's supposed to start. For those that need some help now with feeling bad, the number is 1-800-273-8255. And I would encourage anybody who's having maybe some thoughts of suicide or some horrible feelings about taking their own lives, please call that number. So now let's talk about some success principles, and let's talk about some things that you can incorporate into your daily life that will help you reach whatever goal that you got. Now, probably the biggest thing that I've noticed that successful people have after doing all the research, like my entire life on people that I find successful, is first of all, defining success. Now, a lot of people think that that might have to do with making a lot of money or having a lot of influence or a lot of power or things like that. But let's talk more about the everyday people that have like the relationships, the good relationship, the good family life. You listen to people like Jamal King and Eric Thomas. They've got their pillars, and they've got their family, faith, finances. Man, I forgot the other ones. Man, I can't believe that. I forgot them. But it involves their family. It involves their faith. It involves their physical fitness. It involves their relationship with their creator, with God. And it's just kind of like this whole, they've got several legs that they use to keep themselves kind of even keel. Now, money, for a lot of people, that's a big deal. And that's what a lot of people see as success. But I like to think of success also as having that good family life and being able to go around your family and they can stand having you around. I'm talking about having your kids actually like you instead of your kids despising you and waiting for you to die so they can get their hands on your stuff, you know. But probably the first thing that you need to do is define success for you and not have it be something that maybe you see on TV or something that you idolize, because a lot of people that you idolize that you think are successful, they don't even like that life that they have. They've just kind of been put in this box or whatever, and they continue doing whatever it is that they do. But they don't even like their own life. And a lot of times people were saying, like, if you've got a celebrity that you look up to or that you idolize, it would probably be best to not meet them ever in real life because they're probably going to sorely disappoint you. Reason for that is because people that are like super successful, they've probably got that one thing or those two things that they do very, very well. And then the rest of their life, they're just kind of like, they suck. Like if you like, let me see, maybe a music artist that you really look up to. Somebody told me one time that they met Maxwell and they didn't like that experience at all. You know, Maxwell is an R&B singer who was kind of big, I guess back in the, wow, was it in the 90s? Wow, I age myself every time. But say, for instance, you're a fan of, I don't know, Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber, and you spent years looking up to these people, and then you finally meet them in real life, and they're nothing like what you thought that they would be. So, but anyway, defining success for you is super, super important. After you define that success, you need to have a system in place that'll help you get there. Now, this is a shameless plug for the use of the Uplifting Words Mastermind Productivity Journal, because something like that'll help you get a system in place for you. I'm a big fan of writing things down. I'm a big fan of journaling. I'm a big fan of getting stuff like out of your head and onto paper. Kind of like if, like for my Harry Potter fans, like when Dumbledore was taking memories out of his head and putting them in his pensieve because they were just too much for him to keep all of that mess in his head. Same thing goes for writing. Or if you have like your video recorder on your phone, if you just like speak ideas out. But as long as you got a way to get stuff out of your head and get it down somewhere, that serves two purposes. Number one, and what I think is the most important, it doesn't clutter your mind up with a whole bunch of stuff that you got to keep thinking about. Number two, it also give you a way to come back and revisit and go over and tweak and, you know, maybe embellish a little bit more on whatever that idea was. You know, your fortune is in your ideas. So keep those ideas or keep those things written down or spoken out in voice apps or whatever you got to do so that you can go back later. Another thing successful people do when they got that system in place, you got to learn how to automate certain things in your life. And that goes back into habits. That goes back to, I know you've heard me talk about before, the way that we wake up and your daily habit is what leads to your success, basically. You can have a daily habit of getting up. First thing you do is checking your email, your Facebook, and then going watching news on the TV. And I mean, that's a system. That's a system that's not benefiting you. It's not doing you any good. Like you're not getting anything accomplished. But that nonetheless is a system, even though it's a horrible one. But having that routine, that habit, and switching that around to serve you better. Like maybe say, for instance, when you first wake up, instead of checking your social media, what you do is maybe write down that dream that you had or that idea that you had as you were waking up. A lot of people have had studies. There have been studies done that kind of time when we first wake up, when we're not like totally awake yet, but you know, we're kind of laying there, like our eyes are blinking and we're like wiping crust out of our eyes. Those are the times that our best ideas happen. And it can be kind of fleeting because when we have full control of like our consciousness again, those ideas might kind of disappear. So it's best to like, you know, have something at your bedside that you could either write down or that you could dictate or something. But you know, that routine, getting up in the morning, when you get up and you give yourself time to, you know, brush your teeth and get yourself washed and you know, all of the usual morning things, instead of being the type of person that wakes up 2 minutes before you have to get something done, like before you have to get to work, and you wake up in a panic and you're rushing and you're forgetting stuff and running out of the house with no breakfast and no prep or nothing, like that I'm talking about those types of routines, getting that in place for yourself. And like I said, when you first wake up in the morning, like those first couple of hours that you get up, that's so important. Those aren't the times of day to be checking your email or your Facebook feed or the news. Those are the times to set up your day, your life, and get your steps in order. A lot of successful people, they say before you take in anybody else's crap, make sure that you create your stuff first. Like, instead of going to your social media feed, maybe you create your own social media posts for the day, or you create your own blog, or you write your own article, or whatever it is that you do. You take your own pictures for your social media that you're going to use for the day, if you have to do social media. But create first before you take in somebody else's creations. That's basically what I'm getting at. So another thing that successful people do, they go after their purpose. Now, purpose for me has kind of changed over the years. Like, I'm the type of person that believes that we are not put here just for one purpose. I believe everybody has at least one. Everybody has at least that one gift that if they use it, it will make room for them. But I do believe that things change as you age, or you can have more than one interest that you're deeply passionate about. You can have more than one thing that you really, really enjoy doing and that you could potentially, you know, make a living off of. But people who are successful, they go after that purpose, and they don't let anything stand in their way of going after that particular thing. And I always encourage people to, you know, go after that thing that gives you fire in your belly, not just settling for whatever life throws at you. And you just kind of mosey on through life like this is it. No, find that thing. And the way that you find that thing is that you go out and experiment, you go out and do different things, you try different things. And eventually you'll find something that's like, whoa, I like this. Let me get up in here a little bit more. And you dive a little deeper and deeper. And then before you know it, like, that's become a part of you. That's become like your thing. And, you know, you do that for however long you do it. If you're the type of person that you want to have just that one thing and you do that for life, then there's no problem with that. That's fine. That's great. A lot of people, they live their life and they never find that one thing that really gets their fire going. I'm just saying, for some people, there is the possibility that, you know, there's more than one thing that really turns you on. So, but don't be afraid to go after it, is what I'm saying. A lot of people, they kind of get into, you know, life just kind of gets difficult. like a lot of young people that I talk to, they might look at somebody who's older and they're just like, my life is never going to end up like that. Like, I'm not going to be stuck in a job that I hate after years, and, you know, that type of thing. And I always try to tell people, like, don't pass judgment on that person just because they're older and they're not where they want to be. At one point, they were in your shoes and they had their whole life that they were looking at, like, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And you know what? Like, life happens. Stuff happens. People pass away that you don't expect. You might get into an accident. You might get sick of the profession that you're in. You know, you get married, you have kids, like your dreams and your goals get put on the back burner for whatever reason. So it's kind of a sticky thing when you start talking about going after your passion, because some people, they never get it. And they choose to put other people's lives, whether it be their family, it might be their friends, or it might be their spouse or whatever, but they put other people's lives in front of their goals and their dreams, and, you know, their stuff goes on the shelf. And next thing you know, they're 80, 90 years old talking about, I wish I would have been more of a fighter for my own stuff. So you hear Gary Vee talk about that all the time, that regret. People regret not going after the things that they wanted. So I don't want anybody to live like that, but, you know, I know how life can go. Life gets like that. So another success principle thing, another thing that keeps people successful that I've studied and looked at, is that they get their exercise in for the day. They get their movements. And it could be just something as simple as walking for a half an hour a day or something. There's people all over that spectrum. There's people that they just do a simple walk for a half an hour, or there's people that do like the HIIT training, which is the high impact intensity training, whatever. I forgot what the acronym stands for, but they do that for an hour or 2 hours, and they're like really getting at it, and they do that like every day. But the main thing is, though, getting that movement, getting that exercise, getting your heart going. Exercise has been proven to be kind of like a detox for our brain. It raises our energy. I mean, I could go on for like hours talking about the benefits of exercise. So there's just get that movement in. It'll definitely help you out. So, and then on top of that, just, you know, seeking out exposure and seeking out like-minded individuals, people that are successful, they choose their tribe wisely. And their significant time spent kind of trimming that or cultivating that, you know, like, and it falls back into that. If you got nine of your friends, if your nine closest friends are broke, then you're going to be the 10th friend that's broke. The same thing works in opposite. If your nine closest friends are super successful, then chances are you're going to be the 10th in that group. So successful people, they're really selective about who they choose to have in their circle, who they interact with on a daily basis, and, you know, who they don't have time for anymore. Unfortunately, not everybody that you're rolling with is going to be able to go where you go. And I think a lot of people get tripped up on that. Like there's this whole culture about not leaving people behind. But there comes a point in everybody's life where you gotta be like, yo, this person is not benefiting. And it's not about you taking from that person. It's just like maybe their attitude just sucks. And every time they come around, they just suck your energy, or they're always negative in their speech. They're always talking down, or they always say like, you can't do that. Or do you know what all that goes in? If you want to be the CEO of a company, do you know what you have to do in order to get there? And do you know all the mess that you have to go through and all the trials? And you know those people that no matter what anybody said that they want to do, that they've got something that they're trying to tear it down. And a lot of those times people will try to mask it by saying, I'm just being a realist. Which I think is hilarious. It's kind of like that somebody that has something that they're going after. You're doing them a disservice by saying you're a realist and bringing up all the negative things that could happen, as if that person hasn't already thought about that, as if that's not already on the forefront of that person's mind. Like a lot of times when people go after stuff, we know what we're getting into. We know that there's going to be some fights. But you know what? The fight is worth it for some people. For other people, the fight's not worth it. They'd rather be comfortable. They'd rather be, I don't know. They'd rather just not go after anything for whatever fear. So they try to impose their fears and their whatever on somebody else. So you got to be very selective in the people that you roll with. You got to be selective. You got to be selective in the people that you even tell your dreams and aspirations to. There are people that we call dream killers, and you know, they just hear about something that you want to go after and they'll list 10 things off very quickly about why you shouldn't do it. So that's what I have for you guys. Those are some basic success principles, and I would like for people to think about it more than in terms of just making money. There are those pillars in people's lives, and that involves around their family. Finances is a part, their faith, their physical being, their mental being, like all of that stuff kind of goes into being a well-rounded individual. It does no good to be, well, it seems in this country that this kind of doesn't mean anything, but to me, you being a multi-billionaire, but you're being a crap husband or a crap wife, like, to me, you've lost. Like, you could have all the money in the world, but if your family can't stand you, and you got a wife that can't stand you, and your kids don't want you around, and you have in-laws that can't stand the sight of you, then you've lost to me. Like, what's the use of having all that money, and you just got people around you that can't stand you? Like, that's no way to live. So yeah, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about well-rounded individual, and you have to define what success means, like, for you. I'm talking about, like, for me, being a well-rounded individual is my definition of success. You have to find your own definition of success and kind of mold things around you to get there, to reach that plateau. So that's what I have for you guys for today. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And you know what? Thank you guys very much for sticking with me, for listening to me and my ideas. I really, really appreciate it. Still invite you to come over to my blog, Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures. You can search for that. I talk about wine. I talk about coffee. Talk about Harry Potter. That's kind of like my central hub for even more ideas that I have and business ventures that I have. Let me tell you, my team, wow, the team is growing, and I want to expose it to as many people as possible, you know, because if somebody sees one day and I'm like living the life of like the millionaire, because you know I'm going to share it on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover, by the way, but I don't want anybody to say that, hey man, why don't you tell me about this business that you're getting into? Like, it's a marathon, and I'm not looking for something that's going to happen quick, because the way that I've lived my life is I've been looking for things to happen quickly, and that's not work. I don't think that ever works. So taking my time, enjoying the businesses that I'm in, creating multiple streams of income, that's where my head is at right now. So anybody that wants to come along on the journey, don't forget, check out Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures for more information. Other than that, thank you guys very much for joining me. Y'all have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you in the next one.